3, 2, 1. Welcome to Double Fries No Slaw. It is Sunday, April 7th. Tomorrow's the national championship. Today was the women's game, which was really, really good. Richie, how's your weekend been so far?
Good, man. Lost some money on the Iowa game. I knew South Carolina was going to win, but there was really good value on Iowa, so had to take it. Actually, a three-day weekend for us. Tomorrow is my 7th wedding anniversary with Lindsay, so pretty excited about that. But yeah, just enjoying the weekend, beautiful weather in all of Florida, I'm assuming. How about you, man?
Pretty good weekend. Yeah, we went up to Tallahassee. I took my daughter up, and we're actually going back up this weekend for baseball and softball. So a good weekend. Got some scrimmage updates. Was good to be back in town for a little bit. So we'll talk a little bit about the scrimmage, a little bit about spring camp. We'll talk a little bit about ESPN ranking Mike Norvell as a top 10 coach. We'll talk about where he's listed and what our thoughts are there, and then we'll kind of go around the horn. We'll get out of here, not be super long, but we appreciate Guthrie's for their support. We'll shout them out. 1818 West Tennessee, 2550 North Monroe, and then 2870 on Appalachian Parkway. Make sure that if you're in town for the next couple of weekends, whether you're going up for baseball, softball this weekend, or the spring game the next weekend, or loop it back around. I think softball's senior weekend is the weekend after. Make sure that you stop by Guthrie's and get you a Gut Box Double Fries No Slaw. Time stamp right there, Harlan. We got some scrimmage updates, not only from folks that we chatted with that were there at the scrimmage, but also from Mike Norvell. We'll talk about some of those, see what lines up, see what doesn't line up. But MVP of the day, which I think this is probably the most encouraging MVP that you could possibly have in a scrimmage, Richie. It doesn't get any better than hearing that the quarterback position looked really legit. I was told, while the scrimmage was going on, I took my daughter over to the beach volleyball tournament, and I was getting texts from right across the street there that DJU was absolutely going off. Looked really, really sharp. He made good decisions. His arm is an absolute cannon. No just like crazy, fluky, bad plays. Also made some nice plays with his legs. I will say I always kind of wonder about those because of the green non-contact jerseys. How hard are those defensive ends going after QB1? I don't know. But, again, I was told he made some nice plays with his legs too. All in all, what went from like, he's looking good. He's okay. Good with bad last week to it sounded like he lit the place on fire. Mike Norvell raved about him too. You always have to kind of take what he says with, somewhat measured. I don't want to say a grain of salt, but somewhat measured because, he's not going to just throw people under the bus after a scrimmage or practice. But DJU looked like QB1, and is it too early to start booking flights to Charlotte, Richie? Thoughts on DJ and a really good day out there at the scrimmage yesterday?
Yeah, I mean, I don't know if Florida State's going to be eligible to compete in the ACC championship game. We'll see what happens there. But no, from all accounts, whether it be the people that report on the team or the people that, you talk to TJ or we hear from, DJ had a phenomenal scrimmage. And, people were wondering, is Brock Glenn pushing DJ? Is Luke Grimahawk a wild heart or a dark horse? No. No, DJ is going to start for Florida State, and from what we've all heard, it was a great scrimmage for him. To your point, TJ, he didn't make any of those, WTF plays, right? He checked down when he had to, but he does have a cannon, and I feel like this offense with Mike Norvell and under, Tony Tokars' leadership is built for DJ Uiagalelei. I am so excited to get to Dublin and see him in action in the Garnet and Gold. But yeah, it sounds like he really has, starting to take command of this offense, understanding what Mike Norvell and Alex Atkins want. And it's just really exciting just thinking about it when we're going into this fall when August rolls around. But yeah, I'm excited to see him. I'm really can't wait for the spring game. I don't know if you're going up TJ or not. I'll probably just watch this on TV, but man, I cannot wait to see how he looks with my own eyes because what we're hearing is amazing and very favorable, but I want to see it first too.
Yeah, it sounds really good. Again, hearing all this secondhand or hearing Mike Norvell talk about it, is exciting, and I trust the people that were there. I trust the people we talk with. They told me the good, bad, and the ugly on this scrimmage, on other practices and scrimmages, but it's really excited to hear it.
Yeah.
Because I think we all know, like, there's a lot of talent on this roster, and I don't, you know, I was talking to somebody about this yesterday, and we'll kind of go on to the scrimmage, more notes and stuff, but I think the overall talent is certainly, I'll say, is going to be down a tad. And that's not me being negative, yeah. But you're losing a first-round guy in Verse. You're losing a guy who, at his very best, was probably a first-rounder. Keon probably drops to the second round. You're losing another second-rounder in Braden Fisk. You're losing maybe RB1 or RB2 in the entire draft in Trey Benson. You're losing the heart and soul of your team in Jordan Travis. And so, yeah, is the over, and then that doesn't even mention Johnny Wilson and Jaheim Bell and other guys that, the corners who were just absolutely lights out, your linebackers and stuff. So Akeem Dent, who looks like he might get drafted now. So there's a lot of guys there, and I know I'm leaving some out too with Fabo and others, but it seems like the top end talent might be down, but I think, Richie, we are deeper everywhere, yeah, except for maybe on the defensive line. I feel like they probably need to go get a little bit more in the portal this next upcoming window, but I think they're deeper everywhere else. I think they are so there. There's just like the floor has, like, the ceiling may have dropped just a tad, right? And that's not a shot at anybody, but you just lost a lot, and they're gonna have to prove a lot to me for me to think that the ceiling hasn't dropped. But I think the floor has raised so much with the amount of talent that's been brought in, whether it be through the portal or recruiting classes getting better as they've continued to trend up, that it's, it's not like, whoa, Clemson's way ahead of us now anymore. It's like the talent's just there. And if he's my next point, but if Uyunglele can lead and be that true QB1, this team's going to be really good this year.
Yeah, I'm excited, man. And I know you said Toefele's your next point, but you were talking about the defensive line and the depth. Marvin Jones Jr., a guy you missed on out of high school, and now recruiting, finishing second does matter. And I don't even know if Florida State finished second with him. They might have finished third, but he is here. And TJ, just tell me about what you've heard of him this past week or so, because it sounds like he might be the guy that we thought he was going to be.
Yeah, I mean, he really stood out. A really good day. He had at least one sack. Norvell referenced one that was really, really sick. it'd be cool to get a video release of it, because I've heard it was just like freakish athletic type play that he made. Again, probably not going to be like all the oohs and ahs, because you don't actually hit the quarterback on these sacks. But
yeah,
I think he had two on the day based on what I was told. Again, based on non-contact jerseys and who you're up against and how hard the quarterback is going, I mean, those are somewhat skewed to me. I think that, sacks and QB run plays are, I don't know, I kind of, let me see it when we get to fall kind of stuff. But yeah, I mean, I think that defensive line, I worry about the depth there a little bit. But I mean, Marvin Jones Jr. on one side and Pat Payton on the other side, and in the middle of Farmer and Jackson, that starting four, I think you could put up against any other starting four, certainly in the conference, certainly in the state.
Top five in the nation.
Yeah, I was going to say, it'd be tough for me to say like they're the best starting lineup in the country, like without, we're two scrimmages in. But top five, top 10 in the country, absolutely. And if you're top five in the country, you're talking about, teams like Georgia and Alabama and others, like the perennial elites of the country, like going to be up there in that mix as well. But they're going to be really, really good. Now, can they rotate like they did last year? Can they keep guys fresh like they did last year? Well, if they're not as deep, maybe not, right? And that's kind of probably where the concern comes in. But MJJ specifically had a really good day. And you can't teach his freakish athleticism. You can't teach like the way that he can move. But we've done a really good job of developing defensive ends at Florida State through the portal, through high school ranks. I wish we'd recruit a little bit better there for sure. We all have our complaints, but the way that they have recruited out of the portal and then developed guys, and then, developed Pat Payton as well, It is really special to watch, and it looks like, sounds like Marvin Jones Jr. could be the next up in that group.
Yeah, and going back to who you're on, Lawrence Toefele, sounds like he had a phenomenal day, and he's having a phenomenal spring. I think a lot of us fans, including myself, we get so enamored with a guy like Roydell Williams, who comes in from Alabama, and we're like, man, this guy, we got an Alabama running back. Toefele sounds like he might be ready to take that RB1 spot. I'm really excited about him and everybody behind him. But Toefele specifically, his name just keeps popping up time and time again this spring.
Yeah, the phrase that was used to me on Toefele was shot out of a cannon. And yeah. He's bigger, he's stronger, he looks more the part. You know, everybody thinks of Toefele as like this gadget back, you know, who was great, obviously, in Charlotte and is a great change of pace guy. And I don't think anybody means that like as a shot, like, oh, yeah, he's your kind of like change of speed back. But nobody wants to be a change of speed back, right? Like nobody wants to be like, nobody likes that title. And so I don't have this. Nobody's told me this. Like I haven't talked with LT9, but I don't be surprised if like his, you know, his motivation is to be like, well, I'm going to show them that I'm not just this like gadget back. I'm not just this change of pace. Like I can be the running back here at Florida State. And he does. He looks bigger. He looks stronger. His play certainly seems like he's bringing it as well. But yeah, the room overall had a good day. Cam Davis again.
Yes.
As much as I love Toefele, and I think Roydell Williams is going to have I think Cam's going to be starting by like halfway through this year. Like he is just that insane. And I'd love to be wrong on that just because I know Cam's going to be really good. I'd love for Toefele or Roydell to just be that good that we can't, you know, go away from them. But I really like that room just overall. I think that room is going to be really, really good. But yeah, Toefele stood out and had a really nice day.
What a great place to be in. I remember my senior year at Florida State 2009, where Preston Parker, the phenomenal wide receiver, had to start at running back against Maryland because Anton Smith was hurt. We had no other options. And we're like, all right, let's get a wide receiver in here. This backfield is loaded. And, you know, typically you want your starting, you know, RB1 to get maybe 15 touches a game. I think you can give everybody, you know, 7 to 10 touches and be very happy with the production. And Mike Norvell has shown, you know, look at the pedigree he has of running backs in the NFL, you know, from Memphis and now from Florida State with Trey Benson. He's going to be a top 2-round pick, man. This backfield excites me, but yeah, Cam Davis, he's just built different. He looks like an NFL player today as someone who should be getting ready to go to prom in the next 2 weeks.
Yeah, no, his size and athleticism is ridiculous. Keeping it on the offensive side of the ball, wide receivers had a much better day.
Yep.
Listen, there were some questions about drops last week, and then there were questions on, I don't know, just people saying like wide receiver just was a bad position group for Florida State. And, you know, I got questions about that in the Discord this week. And, oh, this person or that person said the wide receivers are really struggling and we don't have anybody good there. And, you know, I don't know. Obviously, got the Destin Hill news this week that he would be missing the rest of spring, hopefully able to make it back by fall camp and then the season. But, yeah, I heard really good things from Benson, who had a touchdown. I heard that Duspan had made some really nice plays. You know, I think Kentron made one really nice play. And then, you know, the rest of the group just kind of was there. And you know, much less drops, much less issues. Drops in the first spring scrimmage of the year, like, you know, I don't know, just didn't really concern me too much. But it was nice to at least hear that they had a pretty good bounce back day as well.
Yeah, and it sounds like Hakeem is really turning into that guy. To, you know, Florida State getting the 5-star wide receivers they've signed in the past, you know, they haven't quite lived up to that 5-star hype. I think Hakeem has a chance to do that, not just be all ACC, but potentially all American type player. You know, he was not healthy all of last year. If he stays healthy this year, 2024, I think he has a chance to not just be all ACC, but legit all American. He has the size, he has the speed, he has the separation. And then you forget about guys like Ja'Kai Douglas, who's, you know, seems like he's been at Florida State since I was there back in 2009. You know, I just love him. And there is a room, there's a place for him to make an impact in this Florida State offense. I'm really excited about the wide receivers. And, you know, you don't have that proven guy. You don't have a Keon Coleman, who everyone knows is going to be a high draft pick in the NFL. You don't have that Johnny Wilson. But, man, the potential is through the roof, in my opinion, TJ.
On the defense side of the ball here, I'll throw a bunch at you at one time, and we'll kind of go on. But linebacker play was really good. I heard that, you know, Blake had a good day. Sean Murphy is somebody who's really impressing people, and that's a good thing. I think he's kind of a baby DJ Lundy, maybe. Lundy obviously having to step up and be the leader, whether he wants to be or not. But I've heard that he's done a pretty good job in that room as well. Like, just I mean, he's an athletic freak, and where he is today compared to where he was like 3 years ago is, you know, otherworldly different. The linebacker room really before Tatum got here, so I guess that would have been 2021, was just not great. And, you know, Lundy was there and just kind of was a liability when he was on the field. But what he's done has been really impressive. Pretty good battle going on right now at nickel between Greedy Vance and Earl Little. I expect both of them to play quite a bit this year. And I think that's kind of been fun, that a lot of people are telling me like one will make a play and then one will, you know, answer, and then one will, you know, have a mistake and the other, like it's just been a good battle. And, you know, you've gotten, you know, good play out of both those guys. And then again, I mentioned him last week, but I think Devontae Brown is going to play more than people expect. I do think it'll come down to him or Hussey to start opposite of Shaheem. My guy still really likes Brown to end up winning that job, but whether he wins the job or not, I do think he plays quite a bit. And his exact text to me in quotes was, "Brown's going to make people look dumb for questioning Norvell's take." So, which wouldn't be the first time that people questioned a take by Mike Norvell and ended up being proven wrong. So defensively, I'm encouraged. Again, I want to see more defensive line depth. I know this is not a portal or a transfer or a recruiting video. We're talking more about the things that have happened in spring and in the scrimmage specifically, but I am encouraged by the defense, and I think they can still be really good. Do I think they're as good, like top end as last year? Probably not, but I don't know that they necessarily need to be. I think they can still be really, really good this year.
Yeah, I'm loving what we have from this defense. And Adam Fuller, you know, a lot of fans, including myself, doubted him early on. Yeah. And what he put on the field at the end of last season was, in my opinion, a top three defense in the country. And yeah, he had a lot of great pieces, but he's showing he knows how to work with what he has up front. Again, we're not going to beat a dead horse. You'd like to see a little more depth, but what you have to start with, you'd love it. Sean Murphy, I think, is a phenomenal take. You needed somebody at linebacker, and to get him from Alabama was huge. And in the secondary, you know, AZ Thomas, I think, is going to be a potential all ACC guy. I won't say all American just yet, but he's definitely going to be playing on Sundays. You mentioned Conrad Hussey. I just love what this defense has become, what it's coming together. Again, to your point, I'd like to see us do a little better job recruiting these guys out of high school, but through the portal, they have found a way to put together a very talented defense, and one that could be very exciting and will push to be the best defense in the ACC, in my opinion, next year.
Yeah. Jalen Lucas is one more that we didn't mention offensively that Norvell mentioned.
Oof, yeah.
And I was also told that he had a really nice play, kind of an explosive play, where he, I mean, his speed just, you know, does ridiculous things. And so another little late tidbit addition there. But encouraged by the scrimmage. Hopefully it continues on. 2 weeks until the spring game. I'll say this, like, we're this far into this video clip that people are watching. I think you guys will give me some grace here. I don't love the way that we do our scrimmages. I don't even know if I'm going or not. I don't love the spring game specifically. I'm sorry. I just don't. I feel like Norvell and the staff use the spring game for what's best for the team. So I don't have a big problem with that. I don't mind it, but I do think that the idea kind of behind a spring game was to use that as kind of like a for the fans thing, like a fan appreciation type thing. And when that was the case, I liked going. Now I don't like the way the spring scrimmages are run. Now I don't mind it. If the team is getting better and that's the way they want to focus on things, I'm okay with it.
Yeah.
But it's just not it's an 8-hour trip for drill. I don't want to watch drills. Like, I mean, you know what I'm saying? Like, when it was a 2-hour scrimmage, that's to me is kind of worth the trip. I don't have a problem with Norvell doing it that way. I'd just rather watch it on TV if that's the way we're going to do it. I don't want to drive 8 hours to watch drills. I don't know. I'm not trying to be negative. If you're close to town, you should go. But to me, it's not. And Florida State's not the only one doing this. A lot of programs are doing this where it's. But I don't know. It's different to me than it used to be. So I'm not as big of a fan of it. I probably won't go.
Yeah, I don't go. You know, it's as simple as that. It's like when I was in school. You know, the spring game when Bobby Bowden was running it back with Jimbo, it was, you know, they basically start the 35-yard line and it was very structured, situational. not very entertaining for the fans. Like, I would go because I could walk literally 5 minutes from my dorm room, but not worth it. But again, if you're in town or within, you know, a 2 hour drive, absolutely go and support it, because all this money goes back to the program. Definitely something that I would encourage everyone to do. If you've not been to a spring game, go check it out. But just know it's not going to be, you know, Garnet versus Gold. It's going to be very situational and structured. Yeah. And the good thing about that is, to your point, TJ, Mike Norvell, he is the type of coach, he's going to maximize every minute he has coaching these guys, getting them ready to win a national championship in Florida State. That is their goal, to win a national title next year. And winning the ACC is the first step to that. So he does not want to just throw away one practice. And you may say, oh, it's just one practice. No, Mike Norvell is the type of man where he says, no, we need every single practice. So I'm okay with whatever he does.
Yeah, I have no problem with it at all. In fact, it saves me money and time and effort. and I'm old. And so I don't mind it. I'm just not driving up to see the drills, right? Like, I guess just so anyway, if you are going to town, I believe I stopped by the Pensacola Street Garnet and Gold, and they were not open because they're doing some renovations. So if you are going to town, make sure you stop by the Pensacola Street or the Governor Square Mall location at Garnet and Gold. We tell you to stop online, which we certainly still encourage. But if you're in town and you're going, make sure to go buy Garnet and Gold. No game day is complete without going and dropping a bunch of money at the best FSU retailer. Great prices, better customer service, quick shipping. If you're shopping online, it's garnetandgold.com. Use code NOSLAW, N-O-S-L-A-W. Get 15% off of your order. If you order $75 or more, you also get free shipping. Buying Nike or Columbia or whatever the newest trend is, buying that stuff, it doesn't take you long to get up to $75. So save a little money with the discount code, get free shipping. If you're in the state of Florida, anytime I've ordered, as long as I've ordered like before like 2 p.m., if I order on a Tuesday, I get that package on a Thursday. Now, I'm not guaranteeing you that you're going to get 2 day shipping, but I'm just telling you, that's how it's worked out for me. If you're in the state of Florida, you'll probably get it within a day or two. GarnetandGold.com, N-O-S-L-A-W, no slaw. Richie, I don't know if you saw this, but Florida State's head coach, Mike Norvell, was ranked in the top 10 on ESPN's coaching rankings. I'm going to go through the top 10 for you, and then I want to hear your thoughts. If you think he's ranked just right, if you think that he's too high, too low, whatever, but I'll give you the top 10. I think we both agree that Kirby Smart is number one, and it's unquestioned, especially with Nick Saban passing the buck to
RIP Nick.
Yeah, I just killed Nick on the show here. But especially with Nick Saban, I mean, if you wanted to give Nick I probably would have had Kirby ahead anyway, just based on where they are right now. All time, I might have Nick, or I would have Nick higher. But Kirby Smart, number one. I don't think there's any debate there.
Nope.
I think there could be a ton of debate about 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, if you want. I guess I'm okay with number two, considering where he won. But number two, Kalen DeBoer. Are you good with that? Like, is he the second best coach in college football right now?
No, and I saw the list, and someone who's way too low that should be ahead of him is Ryan Day, in my opinion. Kalen DeBoer, top five, maybe. Top 10, sure. Number
you think
two,
Ryan
no.
Day's number two?
I'd put Ryan Day number two.
See, the big thing about Ryan Day to me is I don't think he's beaten Michigan yet. Like, he hasn't beaten his rival. And
the way he recruits and they win, Jim Harbaugh's gone. So yeah. I would put Harbaugh ahead of Ryan Day, but I'd put Ryan Day number two. That's just me personally.
I think Kalen DeBoer. Now, what's so tough is there's no criteria here.
Yeah, right? Exactly.
You can base it on anything you want.
Totally subjective.
You could base it on all-time greatness. You could base it on recruiting. You can base it on their wins all time. You could base it on their wins the last 3 years. There's no measure, right?
That's like, I'm sure Dabo's in here, and I don't know if he's top 10 in the portal NIL era. And I'm sure he's high up on this list. And I'm going to say he's way too high as well if he is on this list, which I'm assuming he is.
So here's why I don't have a massive problem with DeBoer. I think going 13-0 at Washington is ridiculous. Well, and then 14-0, right, to get to the championship. And then they lose to Michigan, who they were, you know, outside of a couple of drops, maybe had a chance in that game. I don't have a huge issue with DeBoer at two. But I think 2 through 6 can be like any order.
Yeah.
I think Ryan Day never won his conference and never won against Michigan. That's tough for me. That's tough for me to put him. Like, if you've never won your conference, have they won? Harlan, can you look that up and fact check me before somebody jumps in the comments? Never won the Big Ten, never beat Michigan. If you've never won your conference, I can't have you as the number two coach in college football if you've never won your conference. They've also, he is a good recruiter, Richie,
yeah,
but they've had more talent on their team than Michigan every year because of that recruiting, and they've never beaten him.
True.
He's been the best recruiter in the Big Ten, and they've never won the Big Ten. Now, I do think they win it this year, but if they don't, he's out. So, I don't know.
I'd agree with that.
I think he's top 10, but two would be too much. Kalen DeBoer, number two. I guess I'm fine with that. Kyle Whittingham, number three. Mm-hmm. Utah's coach. I think he did a good job.
It's hard to tell.
It's so hard. Playing with a third-string quarterback, guided them to, like, what, 8-9 wins last year?
Yeah.
Did okay. All right, so here's 4 and 5. Right? I think Kyle Whittingham's too high there, but – again, I don't know who you start to put in these other spots because you just lost Saban, you just lost Harbaugh. I think it would feel better if you could put like Saban at 2, Harbaugh at 3.
Yeah.
Then Kalen DeBoer at 4, then Whittingham at 5, then this next, or however order you want. But obviously a couple of guys got jumped way up because we had some guys leave. So 4 and 5 are Dabo and Norvell, right? So Norvell 5th, Dabo 4th. They're separated by one vote. And basically the way they did it is if you voted a coach first, he got 10 points. If you voted him second, he got 9 points. If you voted so Dabo and Norvell, almost a dead heat. One person had Dabo higher than Norvell is what it came down to. One spot higher. Essentially a dead heat. There's not a closer vote total on here.
Yep.
What are you basing it on? If you're basing on recruiting, Dabo. If you're basing on past success, Dabo. If you're basing on NIL, today's current landscape, Norvell. Head-to-head would be Dabo, obviously, wins and losses. If you're basing on transfer portal or trajectory, it'd be Norvell. But really close, 4 and 5. Norvell a top 5 coach in college football? Like, is that cemented?
Absolutely. And the way I look at it is, say there was a vacancy at Florida State today for the head coaching position, would I take Norvell or Dabo? For me, it's Norvell. He seems to be a visionary coach, right? He adapts what is available. There is no way in hell Florida State should have gone 13-0 last year based on what he took over in 2020 when he went 3-6 to go from that to 13-0. I don't acknowledge the Orange Bowl. People can give me crap for that. I don't care. But yeah, I think Dabo is slow to adapt to the evolution of the college football game. He has 2 national titles. He's had amazing team. His mid-2010 teams were amazing. But if you were to tell me today, hey, you can either have Dabo or Norvell, I'm taking Norvell every single time.
Yeah.
So that, to me, I get why he's ahead of Norvell, and I'm fine with that. I'm not saying Norvell should be ahead of him. I'm saying if I had a vote, I would have Norvell ahead of Dabo. And yes, TJ, I think Norvell is a top 5 coach in college football. If he wasn't, Alabama would not have been knocking on his door a few months ago saying, hey, come coach us.
Yeah, you provided a theoretical situation where if Florida State was open, you would want Norvell over Sweeney. I'll provide you a legitimate situation where Alabama was open and they didn't even call Dabo Sweeney.
Who played at Alabama. Yeah.
Right. Who they basically said, like, yeah, 5 years ago, we probably would have hired you. But right now, you've proven that you're stubborn and you are on a downward trajectory and your stock isn't as hot right now. Now, Clemson somehow reels off 3 national championships in the next 5 or 6 years. He's going to be right back up there, right?
And absolutely. 100%.
But I don't see that happening. And so now, could somebody have given Dabo like number 2 overall in college football because of his past successes and that's what bumped him up here? Probably is what happened. Somebody probably looked at this list and gave
2 national titles is nothing to sniff at, right? That's impressive.
Somebody probably gave him a lifetime. Somebody probably looked at these as a lifetime award or voting or ranking. And that's fine. Dabo is a more accomplished coach than anyone but Kirby. And don't they both have two titles? No, Kirby has three now, right? Yeah.
I don't know.
Yeah. So, yeah. So, he's less accomplished than Kirby, right? But more accomplished than anyone else on this list. The only other coach on this list that has a national title. So,
yeah, it's crazy.
Norvell, absolutely top five. To me, I think you could have Norvell at three. Yeah. I think you could. I think Kirby, if you want to put Kalen too, because winning at Washington was very tough and very impressive, and his overall record is remarkable, I'm fine with Kalen at two. Like, that doesn't bother me a ton. I think Norvell at three would make a lot of sense. I'm not going to squabble over three, four. I think if you look at any job in America comes open right now, Texas comes open, Ohio State comes open, Michigan comes open. Norvell's getting called before Sweeney or Whittingham. Now, does he take that job? I don't know. But I promise you that. Georgia comes open. Again, Norvell is getting called before Sweeney or Whittingham, without a doubt.
100%.
We'll look at 6, 7, 8, 9, and 10, and then see if there's anybody in the others receiving votes that you like. I couldn't find Mario or Napier on this. Dan Lanning at 6, part of the Norvell tree. Quite a few votes less than Norvell, like 12 less votes. So there's a pretty marked difference between your top five and then everybody else. Dan Lanning, Steve Sarkisian, Lane Kiffin at 8. Lance Leopold at Kansas. First Big 12 coach.
I like that one. That's a good
second, I guess.
Leopold's a good coach, man. He's good.
Ryan Day at 10. See, I'm a little more in line with that. Ryan Day at 10. Others receiving votes, Brian Kelly was like 4 votes behind Ryan Day. I think I'd be fine with Brian Kelly. I don't know. Yeah, they haven't won their conference either, and obviously never won a conference at Notre Dame. So,
they haven't won their division.
Yeah. So I think that's – yeah, I think that makes sense. Lincoln Riley at USC, I think his name is putting him up there. Kirk Ferentz at Iowa, Luke Fickell at Wisconsin, Drinkwitz at Missouri, Mac Brown at North Carolina. Again, that's probably a lifetime achievement type
thing. No way. No way.
Mike Gundy, Oklahoma State, Jonathan Smith, Michigan State, Deion Sanders at Colorado. No. I mean, you're getting into the guys with one vote, right? Like, we're probably like 10th on one list. So, anyway, there's a few more there. But, yeah, I think it solidifies Mike Norvell is absolutely one of the best coaches in America. You 100%. Mentioned it. Yeah. Going from, what was it, 3-6. To
5-7, 10-3.
Right? So they were 3-10 at one point, and then they went 5-3 to finish that year, then 10-3 the next year. So you're talking about 15-6, and then 13-0 after that. So you're talking about 28-6 over 34 games. That's ridiculous. Like, that is
absurd. We got ourselves a coach, guys. Yeah. We have a hell of a coach in Mike Norvell. And he is staying here.
Yeah, the best part of that is that Alabama came knocking, and he said, your money's no good here. GTFO. So, anyway, shout out Michael Alford. I saw him this weekend. So, big shout out to him for listen, Alford's, like, doing some things with, the whole ACC, retaining Norvell. We'll talk about the baseball team here in a minute. Softball retaining Lonnie, obviously pulled away the best coach in the SEC and got him to win a national title here in soccer. Yeah. So, Alford's doing some things over there. So, but let's move on. Let's transition a little bit. Hey, I don't know if you saw this or if you watched or heard anything. I talked to Doug a little bit about the ACC dismissing Florida State's denying Florida State's motion to dismiss. A lot of hot takes after this. Like, I don't want to play the podcast lawyer here, but I guess I'm about to. In every, if you sued me right now, Richie, the first thing my attorney would do would be to file a motion to dismiss, right? Yeah. Cases don't happen without it. Florida State was sued by the ACC. They filed a motion to dismiss. The ACC was sued by Florida State. The ACC filed a motion to dismiss in Florida. Like, it's just part of the, and both of them are going to likely get denied. Florida State's already has, but a lot of hot takes after the dismiss. Oh, Florida State's dealt this massive blow. I don't really know that it was a massive blow. It would have been a nice win if they could have gotten it. But a big win is that the judge said that Florida State did not have a fiduciary duty, didn't have any financial obligations to the ACC. A lot of people think that's good news for Florida State. So, I don't know. I talked with Rohan about this. Do you have any takeaways from anything that happened last week in the court case?
Man, TJ, I'm probably like every Florida State fan. I have no idea what's going on from a legal standpoint. You hear it's one of those things where you spin everything. Like a ruling comes down, and if you look at ACC Twitter, like, oh, what a blow to Florida State. If you look at Florida State Twitter, oh, what a blow to the ACC. I don't know. This thing will take time, guys. I'm just going to let this thing play out and hope that Florida State comes out on top. I think they have a really good chance to, especially with Clemson jumping in. Don't let North Carolina jump in as well, because if they do, at that point, I do think it's over. But right now, guys, I'm a sport management major with a minor in communications. I have no idea what's going on legally, but I'm keeping a close eye. But I do like where Florida State stands based on everything I'm reading, the totality from not just Florida State Twitter, but ACC Twitter and all the other media as well.
Yeah, I think there's all obviously such an overreaction either way, right? People either hate Florida State or they absolutely love Florida State. And so they, you know, side whichever way. The big thing is that this is going to get settled outside of court, in my opinion. Yes. Yep. And so acting like a motion to dismiss that gets denied is a big deal is funny. There is a court case on Tuesday in Tallahassee. So day after tomorrow, if you're listening to this on Monday, which you probably are at this point, unless you listen to it Sunday
night. And the judge is a Florida State Law School grad, so that's kind of cool.
Two-time Noel. So we should be in pretty good shape there. So anyway, continue to follow and listen. If you're listening to this on podcast, which is the only place this is going out, make sure that you are subscribed to the YouTube, because all those updates from Doug Rohan and myself are there on YouTube on the FSU versus ACC playlist. Richie, around the horn real quick. I'll give some quick updates and then we'll get out of here. Baseball won their series this weekend against Boston College, rebounded from a loss on Saturday to win on Sunday. Softball lost on Friday and then won their last two to win that series at Louisville as well. Beach volleyball swept, going 5-0. Men's tennis dropped a couple to highly ranked opponents. Women's tennis had a big upset of a top 15 opponent in NC State today. They've won 7 in a row. And then you've got a shout out. One more big piece of news from the Florida State world, the Olympic sports that most people know about, but give the people the news.
Yeah, shout out Lottie Wode from England and current Florida State women's golfer. She won the Augusta National Women's Amateur Tournament today. We're big fans of Coach Bond. She interacts with us all the time on Twitter. But she went birdie, par, birdie, birdie from 16 to 18 to win it. She was down one stroke on hole 17, went birdie, birdie on the finish, and won it. And just awesome to see a Noel win at Augusta. And I'm hoping we see another Noel win at Augusta next week or this week, now that we are at Sunday with Brooks Koepka teeing it up at the Masters. So shout out Lottie Wode. Just an amazing performance by her. I watched it live. It was phenomenal. She, you know, they say ice in the veins. It really was ice in the veins for her. So shout out Lottie.
Who wins tomorrow? Like, does Purdue have any chance of beating UConn tomorrow night?
I think they do, just because Zach Edey is a monster. I'm gonna take UConn, but I'm not sleeping on Purdue. I think Zach Edey is the X factor.
So ESPN has it as like a 55% chance that 54% that UConn will win. So really, really close. Vegas doesn't see it that way. Vegas sees UConn as like a 6.5, 7.5 point favorite.
Oh,
so
damn. That's Vegas a really liar that I would have expected. Yeah.
I kind of like the...
I would have thought 4.5 or so.
Yeah. I kind of like the points there. So, all right. I don't have any shout outs. Shout out the beach volleyball team for going 5-0. We went up there to that this weekend and my kid had a blast. So shout out to them. We'll be back next Sunday. We'll talk more about whatever happens with the FSU and ACC stuff, and we'll get ready for the spring scrimmage, spring drills, spring whatever you guys are watching there in person and on TV. TJ Pinger, Richie Barnes. Thank you to Harlan for all the work on the back end. We will talk to you guys soon. Go Noles.